A psalm of David the prophet, may his blessings be with us all. Amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter.
Forever of the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand, our saintly father, the patriarch, hope of Ashenuta the third, and our father, the bishop of Ayusif. May the Lord preserve your life.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our Lord God, Savior, and King of us all, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, to whom is glory. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Glory be to God forever.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the Gospel of today, the Lord Jesus Christ is setting to us two options. He told us there are two ways. One way is difficult, and the other way is broad. One way starts with a narrow gate. The other way starts with a wide gate. One way has few people walking in it, and the other way has many people walk in it. One way will end in eternal life and eternal blessedness, and the other way ends in eternal destruction and damnation. And you have to make a choice which way you choose to walk by. This reminds me before the people of Israel entered the promised land. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the people that I called heaven and earth to be witness against you. I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. Choose life to live." Many people, unfortunately, feel it is okay to enter through the wide gate. It's better to walk through the broad way. Especially, there are many people walking through this way. But they don't know that this way, the broad way and the wide gate and the road that was walked by many, many people ends in eternal damnation and eternal destruction. So the Lord actually is calling us to walk through the difficult way. This difficult way starts with a narrow gate. And the narrow gate actually, it is narrow not only in its width, but also in its height. And actually, if you visited one of the old monasteries in Egypt, you will find the old cells in the monastery. The door of the cell is also narrow in its height. And the only way that in order to enter this cell, you need to bow down in order to enter. You cannot walk into the cell while you are your head like up like this. So every time the monk enters his cell, he has to bow down like this in order to be able to enter. As if the Lord is saying, the only way to enter into the difficult road is through humbleness, self-denial. Unless you humble yourself, unless you deny yourself, you cannot enter through the narrow gate. Bowing down like this is a sign of humbleness. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ made in His incarnation. St. Paul in his letter to Philippians chapter 2, he said, "Let this mind of Christ be in you also." He emptied himself. He took the form of a man. He humbled himself. And he obeyed unto death, the death of the cross. The narrow gate and the difficult way cannot be inhabited by prideful people or those who want to glorify their ego and praise themselves. This is the way to heaven. It is the way of self-denial. The way in which you humble yourself. The way in which you say with St. John the Baptist, "He must increase, Christ must increase, but I must decrease." This concept is very, very difficult to accept in our days and in our culture. Because our days and our culture praise pride, praise egoism. But for Christ, he who humbles himself will be elevated. But God resists the proud. Another thing about the narrow gate. You cannot enter a narrow gate while you are carrying many baggage with you. So, in order to enter through a narrow gate, actually, you have to leave all the baggage behind you. You cannot enter while you are carrying all these baggages. But it's very easy to enter through a wide gate carrying your baggages. What the baggages here represent? Many people want to walk with Christ, but while they're carrying with them the baggages of the love of the world, the love of money, the love of pleasure, you cannot. You cannot enter through the narrow gate while you are carrying all these baggages with you. When the rich man went to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him, "Good teacher, what should I do in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" The Lord told him, "Keep the commandment." He told him, "I have kept all of them since my childhood." Then the Lord told him, "One thing you need to do. If you want to be perfect, go, sell all what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me carrying your cross." But this man couldn't put away this package of love of money. That's why he went his way sorrowful. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself as an example. When he was born as a child, he was born as a poor child. He was born from a poor virgin, Saint Mary, in a very, very poor place, in manger among the animals. And Saint Paul, reflecting on the birth of Christ, he said, "He made himself poor, although he is the rich. Although he is the source of all richness, but he made himself poor." You may tell me, "But there are many people who are rich. So, are all these people, will all these people perish and not go to heaven?" No. The Lord actually explained this when he said, "Those who trust in the money." Because there is no definition who is rich and who is poor. This is a very relative from culture to culture, from a place to place. What does it mean to be rich and what does it mean to be poor? But the love of money means to put your trust in money, not to put your trust in God. That's why a person who put his trust in money, he will be very, very troubled if he lost his money. But him who put his trust in the Lord, he will say with Job, "The Lord gave, the Lord took, may the name of the Lord be blessed." He will not. He does not put his trust in the money. He does not get his peace, inner peace, and sense of security, and sense of safety from how much do I have in the bank. But he gets this sense of security and peace from his relationship with God. This culture that praises materialism, that evaluate people by how much do you have, doesn't understand the concept of entering through the narrow gate, in which we have to leave this luggage and package of love of money, love of pleasure, and love of materialism. That is how to enter through the difficult way. But after you enter through this gate, the narrow gate, the Lord said, that's the first step. Enter through the narrow gate. But when you enter through the narrow gate, you will find a way, but this way is difficult. Like if you are driving up a mountain and there is a big cliff from here and from there, and it's just one lane, you will find it's very, very difficult to drive through this way. It's like the Broadway. The Broadway is a very broad that has many, many lanes. The way to heaven is difficult, but the way to eternal damnation and destruction is broad, as the Lord Jesus Christ said. What does it mean? In the Broadway, you will make your own rules. You will follow your own will. You will not abide by restrictions from the Lord or from the church. Actually, you are following your own will. But in the difficult way, there are many restrictions here. And this restriction actually is for your safety. You will find many, many warnings if you are driving in a very difficult way. For example, warning that tell you, don't overspeed, don't pass other cars. And you have actually to follow these restrictions very carefully. Otherwise, you will put yourself in danger. So these restrictions and instructions are given for your own safety. In the same way, the Lord gave us many, many commandments that we may perceive it as restrictions, that we may perceive it as limiting my freedom. But we should understand that these restrictions and commandments are given for our safety. And if we follow them carefully, we will arrive to our destination safe. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 5, we read about the birth of Christ. And St. Paul said, when he entered into the world as a high priest, because the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a high priest, he said to the Father, sacrifice and burnt offering are not pleasing you. You are not pleased with sacrifices and burnt offering. Which means you didn't want me to offer sacrifices and burnt offering. But what do you expect me to offer? St. Paul said, but you have prepared a body for me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. So the Lord Jesus Christ saying to the Father, you don't want me to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, but you want me to offer my body as a sacrifice to you. And what was the reaction of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I have come to do your will, O Father. I have come to do your will. And he accepted this restriction. He accepted to offer himself as a sacrifice, to offer his body as a sacrifice. So he became the high priest and in the same time, the sacrifice, the offering. That's why in the hymns of the church, we say in the hymn of Phi of Inf, this who offered himself as a sacrifice, offered himself as a sacrifice. Are we willing to accept such restrictions in our life or not? God gave restrictions to Adam and Eve, but they violated this restriction, violated this commandment. Although this commandment was a commandment of love to protect them. And by the way, this commandment was a commandment of fasting. Don't eat from this tree. And this actually a commandment of fasting. Unfortunately, like right now, we are fasting the great fast. And many of us, we feel it is not convenient to fast. That's why we start to make our own rules. We follow our own will. I prefer and choose to walk in the broad way. And I say, no, I'm not going to fast this way. Just maybe I will fast the last week or the last 2 weeks. Although this commandment was given to us for our protection. How? When we fast, when we discipline our body and bring it into subjection, actually we are putting our bodies under the leadership of the Spirit, and thus we become spiritual persons. And if you think about it, there is no reason to break the fast, except if you are really, really sick and you are on a special diet for, health reasons. But other than this, there is no reason. Yes, I admit many, many times it is inconvenient to fast. Yes, I'm saying. But seeking convenience is seeking to walk in the broad way. But you need to discipline yourself. As St. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it in subjection, lest after I preach it to others, I myself be rejected. So, do you choose to walk in the broad way, what's convenient, or you will accept the commandment of God and the restrictions that are made for your own protection? That is walking in the difficult way. Abuna, in the Gregorian liturgy, after he reflects on the sacrifice of Christ, in which he obeyed and he submit himself completely to the will of the Father, Abuna says, I offer you, my master, the counsels of my freedom, and I write my works according to your sayings. I write my works, all my works, all my behavior is according to your saying. This is actually how to walk in the difficult way if you want to have eternal blessedness and eternal glory. So we spoke about the narrow gate, we spoke about the difficult way. A third element here, the Lord said the difficult way inhabited by very, very few people. But the broad way, there are many, many people who are walking in it. Many times it is not comforting to be among the minority. We say, but everybody does this. So does this mean everybody will not be saved? Everybody around us, nobody fasts like us. Nobody has these restrictions like we do. So, does this mean all these people will not be saved? Only us? Many times, we like to be conformed to the majority, because this gives actually a false sense of security. You are among the majority. But actually, if you reflected on many, many stories in the Bible, you will find only the minority, the little flock, is saved. During the time of Noah, how many persons were saved in the whole world? 8 persons. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. Only 8 persons. How many persons were saved from Sodom and Gomorrah? Only 3. Lot and his 2 daughters. How many persons entered the promised land from the thousands of people who left Egypt? Only 2. Joshua and Caleb. So, don't be deceived by the numbers. Actually, the Lord told us that the broad way will have many, many people who walk in. But the difficult way has only few people. Not only who walk in it, but the Lord said, who find it? Who only few people will find it. Which means you need to search carefully in order to find the truth. You need to search carefully in order to enter through the narrow gate. Because the world provides for you many, many gates, many convenient, wide, comfortable gates to walk through it. But the Lord told us, no, you need to find the narrow gate and to walk in it. Don't be scared that you are among the minority. That's why the Lord told us, do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, search for the truth. And once you know the truth, abide by the truth, live by the truth, and don't get scared or afraid if only few people follow the truth. So, this way that's difficult, and there are few people walk in it, and started by a narrow gate, this is the way that leads to what? To eternal blessedness. This is the way that leads to eternal life. When the Lord started His ministry, many people were offended by His teaching. You read in the Gospel of John chapter 6, when the Lord spoke about His body and His blood, many people were offended by this teaching. And St. John said, from that time, many people left Him and walked no more with Him. Walked no more with Him. And only the 12 disciples remained with Him. So the Lord looked at them and told them, do you also want to go? But Peter replied and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So, let us say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? We will come to you because you are our Lord, you are our King, you are our Savior, and you are the life giver to our souls, bodies, and spirit. That's why we will abide by you. We will walk with you. Even in the narrow gate, we will be happy because you are with me. Even in the difficult way, I will be confident because you are holding my right hand. Even if I am walking among the minority, I will not be afraid or fearful because I know it is your pleasure to give me the kingdom. So, even if I walk in the valley of death, I shall not fear because you are with me. So, in the Gospel of today, the Lord put us these two choices, the broad way and the difficult way. The broad way that starts with a wide gate, and many, many people walk in it, but ends in eternal damnation. And the difficult way that starts with a very narrow gate, and very few people walk in it, but ends in eternal blessedness and eternal life. Which way you will choose today, which group you will join today, this will determine your destiny. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.